Cinema Classics is brought to you in part by the Gateway Film Center, presenting their Independent Film Showcase, a 12-film series rotating over 8 days, January 17th through the 24th. Gateway Film Center has indoor parking in the OSU campus neighborhood at 11th and High. Further details and reservations online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto, and we recently spoke... And I'm Johnny DiLoretto, and this is Cinema Classics.
Hooray!
Yeah. We last spoke about the Oscars, John, if anybody sat through that entire conversation. It went on and on.
Yeah,
the long version, which you can hear all the uncut shows on Facebook, right, and the website.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kathryn Bigelow.
Look, at Zero Dark Thirty is a player this year,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be at the Oscars, and it's my contention. If anything topples Lincoln, it's going to be that. So let's deal with Kathryn Bigelow. You have to, because she's 5 feet 11 and a half.
Yes, that's right.
You can't miss her.
You can't miss her. She's a beautiful woman.
Yes.
And also, you can't not talk about her and Oscars, because she's the first woman director to have ever won Best Director.
She is. You got it. She's the first woman to win the Directors Guild of America Award for directing, and that was The Hurt Locker.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, of course, the first woman in Oscar history to win the Best Director Award.
All the more interesting because she was snubbed this year, despite Zero Dark Thirty getting all kinds of nominations, including Best Picture.
Right.
So now the question is,
yes,
do you believe she was snubbed because of the perception that Zero Dark Thirty, promotes?
Takes advantage of.
Apologizes for, or says
Wouldn't you think it actually exploits it?
The accusation is that Zero Dark Thirty promotes torture.
Right.
And do you think that snub has come out of the concern and perception that her film promotes torture?
And I think there's something to that. It is very difficult when you have 6,000 people who are actually voting on this, or you have, you know, so many people involved, so many different agendas involved. Is it possibly those people who support James Cameron don't want her to see her win again? Or is
there are people who support James Cameron? Go ahead.
Anyway, it's all bizarre. But yes, the torture sequence at the beginning, which is rather long, and I don't believe is unpalatable.
Right.
I think it's a part of the whole process.
Okay.
Of war. So anyway,
let me
say, impossible.
This whole conversation is ridiculous. It's stupid. I want to make it clear that I'm not making that accusation. That's what some people are saying.
Of course.
It's stupid.
Sure.
The movie. I mean, if we are to believe that these things happened, and I'm pretty sure we can say that they did.
Now, whether we ever got any information that would lead to getting Osama bin Laden is arguable at best.
Sure.
But she includes at the beginning of her film, it's very powerful. For me, it's instructive on the process of clandestine war,
mm-hmm.
and how you do try to get information, and what happens when you torture someone, particularly waterboarding.
Right.
So I think for the and you may be implying, and I would agree with you, she's the filmmaker.
Right.
She's imagining this.
Yes.
So let her be.
Exactly. It's her film. Let her.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And if you're going to recognize it as the best picture, then I don't want to fall into the trap of saying that a director needs to be nominated. We've had this conversation before,
know.
Too. I don't believe the director needs to be nominated if the movie is nominated for Best Picture, because the Best Picture is a package deal. It's more about the producer.
I know.
Than it is the director. However, I hope that's not the case. I hope she's not being snubbed because of that, because I do think it's ridiculous. Let us talk about, though.
Yes.
It's more interesting to follow her career and see how she wound up as an Oscar darling anyway, when she started out directing these ridiculous B-movie trashy adventures Near Dark.
No. Oh, how about Blue Steel and Point Break?
Well, but we got to talk about Near Dark first,
which
is a Lance Henriksen vampire movie.
Well, that's right, it is.
And it's It's a great time. No, you know, make no mistake, Near Dark is one of the great B movies of the 80s. Is.
Yes, it does different things with the vampires.
Yes, it's true, a really kind of an amazing little gem.
But when you
get
to 1989 with Blue Steel, I think you begin to get the kind of film that she really likes, which is taking a protagonist who is kind of boxed in, caught in a circumstance where the person has to prove himself or herself, and she's pretty democratic with both males and females. In this case, Jamie Lee Curtis.
And that's an awful movie, Blue Steel. It's terrible. And it was a huge flop. And she was trying to do some interesting things with her female protagonist. Now, that comes into play when she directs Strange Days with Ralph Fiennes, hot off of Schindler's List, you know, partnering up with Kathryn Bigelow, and they were trying to make a very intelligent action movie about the ways in which men see women.
Yeah,
so there's a visual element that comes into play in the narrative there.
Well, it's a point of view that's, I mean, that's the one where you actually can have a video planted in your brain.
Yeah.
You can actually see from somebody else's point of view.
Right. You could record people's what they see. You can record what people see.
But I noticed, and now that was 1995, but you missed 1991 Point Break.
I didn't miss it. I was coming back to it. Because this ties back into her earlier trashy movies. Point Break is a ridiculous bank robbing movie with Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves.
That's right.
Before The Matrix, so before we really could take Keanu seriously. Again, she's great at these pulpy, tacky.
The thriller. She is good.
She is very good.
Which leads up to me when we get to it. To her current film, which again I think is an A+ thriller.
Well, it leads up to The Hurt Locker, which no one saw coming because of her filmography. You know, who would have thought that this female director from the 80s, who's most famous for Near Dark and Point Break, because Blue Steel was a big flop, and Strange Days was a big flop.
Well, wait a
minute.
And
then she kind of did.
Wait a minute.
What? These were flops.
How can you forget K-19, The Widowmaker, which was in.
Well, I have an answer for that.
2002.
Easily.
Two great stars.
Yes, Harrison Ford.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah, crazy, right?
They're playing again. Russians with the worst accents you ever heard.
Right. So that's what I'm talking about. She makes these kind of movies, and then all of a sudden, she just reconfigures what she wants to do and makes The Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Now when she narrows her scope, she tells a more human story in a sort of spared down setting.
It's taut. It's explosive.
It's intimate.
Yeah, yeah.
And that really becomes where her strengths were. All along, we're in the intimacies of people under duress.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, in talking about her, somebody mentioned the other day, somebody in the know, in fact, Chris Hamill, shared
the Cognoscenti
with us, that you could never tell whether it was really Bigelow or Cameron, James Cameron, her husband
directing
for so many years.
The Hurt Locker?
Well, just all along in her movies, whenever she was married to him.
Oh.
He says you couldn't quite tell whether he was actually the one behind the puppet master. And that's, of course, once she divorced him and she got into The Hurt Locker and then into Zero, she came into her own. So this leads us to, we know Hurt Locker, for instance, and I think that there's a vivid image of Jeremy Renner's character in that film. So it makes me ask, what do you think about the character that Jessica Chastain plays, Maya, in Zero Dark Thirty?
I think she's seizing upon her newfound role as, you know, she's now able to incorporate her feministic concerns that she wasn't able to, you know, they were met with, they were ridiculed when Blue Steel came out and Strange Days was dismissed.
Okay, right.
So now she has this, you know, this newfound sort of luster.
Yes.
And she can incorporate those concerns back into the overall thematic scope of a movie like Zero Dark Thirty. So that's why you end up with a really powerful female character at the center of it.
She is the only female. Not the only one, but she is the central figure in that drama and surrounded by mostly by men.
Sure.
So it's a very female-centered film.
So my question to you,
yes,
then back at you, is So here's a director that started out in B-movie actioners, yeah, right? Kind of found her voice by making these militaristic, or not, I don't know, military-driven
thrillers.
Okay, three, two. So let me ask you this.
Yes.
You having asked me a question, I shoot it back at you. Now, what do you see coming next from a woman who found her career? Shit, I lost the train of my thought. Three, two. So my question back at you, John, is, you know, here's a woman who started out making these really kind of ridiculous taut B-movie action movies.
Right.
And then found her voice making these military-themed Oscar-winning, Oscar-nominated movies like Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. What is next? Where does she go from here? I mean, to do another one is to repeat herself, right?
That's a great question. I don't believe she can do another thriller if she's going to be really seriously considered one of the great directors of all time. We have to get, you know, let me just read to you what she says about being a female director, if that's okay. Three, two, one. If there's a specific resistance to women making movies, I just choose to ignore that as an obstacle for two reasons. I can't change my gender, and I refuse to stop making movies. It's irrelevant who or what directed a movie. The important thing is that you either respond to it or you don't. There should be more women directing. I think there... Three, two, one. I think there's just not the awareness that it's really possible. So I think she's someone who recognizes that her role is going to be as a great director and not a great female director. Now, let me then tell you what I think about Zero Dark Thirty. I don't believe that that is a fully fleshed out character,
mm-hmm,
that her female character, it's irrelevant to me whether she's male or female.
Right.
She is a technocrat.
Yeah.
You know, there's no arc of her character as far as I'm concerned. So I'm saying...
But that's powerful in its own way because most female characters have to have some sort of... You know, we superimpose upon them the need to find validation in some sort of heterosexual relationship or their profession or whatever. But to just suck all that out, all those sort of prerequisites that the audience brings to bear on a female heroine is interesting in and of itself.
And I would like to see her do something along the lines of The Help, where she has an ensemble of female characters and she can play with that from her own background, from her own sense. In other words, she doesn't have to do any more males or tough females. She should do something that allows her full scope, and why doesn't she do that with a full female cast?
I don't know. That's an interesting perception. I, on the other hand, would like her to do the sequel to Point Break.